Galatians chapter 1, be finishing up Galatians 1, chapter 1 tonight, Lord willing, and maybe look at some things that will help us and be a blessing to us. And I want to be brief tonight because we do have some things we need to talk about afterwards, and we do need to pray as well and spend some time praying. But I do want to just kind of give you a thought here and look through the rest of this chapter. This is kind of part two of what we started Sunday night, because we looked at the manner of the change in Paul, the way he changed, how he changed. Of course, we talked about the power of that message, and then we'd seen the power of the message to change, and then we looked at the manners in which he changed. And if you remember Sunday night, we looked at his the conduct of his change. Of course, the gospel will certainly change your conduct. Amen. Change the way you live. And then his calling changed. He was called of the Lord, and he was seeking to do the Lord's will with his life. Of course, that affects all of us as well. And we'll look at a couple others tonight that I think we see here, ways that Paul changed and the way the gospel changed him. So let's look here in verse number 15, chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says to that church, he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be in your house, and Lord, the opportunity to assemble together and to preach your word, and Lord, to hear it, and Lord, to sing praises to you, and Lord, the opportunity to pray. And Lord, it's just a blessing to be together in these days. And Father, I thank you for your people, for bringing them out to the house of God tonight, Lord, the step of faith they've taken. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless, Lord, our faith tonight. Lord, you'd give us what we need from your word. And Lord, you would encourage us and uplift us, comfort us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and give us what we need. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So, talking about his manner of change, how he changed, his conduct changed, his calling changed. I think we see here in this passage a couple of others in verse 16 through 19. I believe we could say that Paul's creed changed. And by creed, what a creed is, that is a creed, that's that which is believed or professed. That is his manner of belief, his articles of faith, so to speak, the things that he believed, the profession that he made. And that changed with him. It says in verse 16, "To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." And so we see there the seeking of his creed, where he sought out really what he believed. It's in verse 16, it says, "The Lord revealed, God revealed his son in him, that he might preach him among the heathen." And he says in verse 17 that he didn't go up to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to the churches, didn't go to the apostles. Instead, he went into Arabia. And it says, then he returned unto Damascus. And so, really what I see in that is that Paul is seeking the Lord. Of course, he's under the leadership of the Spirit of God, but he's seeking the Lord, but he's not going the place that typical, you know, a lot of people would go. He's not going to the apostles. He's not going to the church leaders. He's not going to seek out the believers or the apostles. What he did was he got alone with God. What's close by there, if you look at a Bible map, you'll see that the border of Arabia comes up close to Damascus. How easy it would have been Paul to go out. A lot of people believe he went out into that Arabian desert, that Arabian wilderness, and got along with God. And evidently, that's where God spoke to him and revealed these things to him whenever he was alone in the secret place with God. And so make God help us to seek God in the right places. We seek Him, He will be found. And so the seeking of His creed, but then also the source of His creed. Verse 17, neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So again, after His conversion, He went off by Himself into Arabia. We don't know how long He was there, but evidently sometime shortly after His conversion, He went there, got along with God, I think, and there Christ evidently revealed to him the gospel message. Everything he learned, he got directly from the Lord. Because he didn't have a Bible. I mean, he didn't have a complete Bible anyways. He didn't have what we have today. And so, matter of fact, in verse 12, you back up to verse 12, he says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so he hid himself with God and heard straight from the Lord. Jesus Christ himself gave him the message, gave him the beliefs, told him what to believe, gave him his creed. And it would do us well, do people well in this day, to get our beliefs, what we believe, straight from the Lord. Now, we might not wander off into the Arabian desert and see signs and visions and get a direct revelation from the Lord, from Jesus, but we don't need that. We have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said. And so, everything we need, we can get directly from the Lord, from Jesus Christ Himself, direct revelation to us, and we don't need signs and visions and dreams. We need Bibles. Amen? And so, exactly what Paul got from the Lord, we can get from this Bible we're holding. And if we will just seek, amen, and get it from the right source. A lot of folks are getting their beliefs, getting their creeds from the wrong source. They'll read after books, they'll read after men, they'll get people's opinion, and you know, all these things, when really what we need is to hear from the Lord. Get alone with God. Get in the secret place, amen. And so the source, and then also the support of it. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So he goes up, he finally goes to Jerusalem, he says after 3 years. And he, you know, seeks out Peter, seeks out the other brethren. And if there would have been something wrong with Paul's message, with what Paul was believing, don't you know the apostles would have corrected that? I mean, these chosen apostles, these men of God. I mean, Peter, hand-picked, hand-selected by Christ, these other men. They would have dealt with, they would have corrected a defective gospel right then. However, there's no indication that they did. In fact, the Lord started using Paul, and they embraced Paul and took him in. And so they didn't, and because they didn't, that's evidence of their support of his message. Amen? And there's, by the way, there is a principle there too. Sometimes us just being silent is showing our support. Amen? Now, they didn't correct him because they didn't have anything to correct. But, you know, we need to be careful and make sure we're speaking up when the Lord wants us to. Amen? Because sometimes there's things that need correcting, need straightening out, and we can sit quiet and sit back, and that's a mess. So anyways, the support. And so he got the support for the brethren. I said, I don't know, a few services ago, that the support of the brethren and the opinions of the brethren isn't everything, but it is something a lot of times. And it meant something that the other apostles, the other men, threw in their support for Paul. And again, what Paul's doing here in this passage in a lot of ways is he's, again, laying that foundation of authority before the people, making them realize that he's an apostle and he has the authority to deal with the things he's going to deal with in this letter. But the message to us is that we need to make sure we're believing the right things, because that's something that changed in Paul when he got saved. He started believing the right things. His creed changed. Amen? And so that changed. But then also, what about his confinement? Look at verse 21. Now this definitely speaks to us in the day that we're living in. Confinement. Verse 21, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. So the church, or the community of Christians in this day, they were not real quick to accept Paul after his conversion, which is understandable. I mean, at one time, this is Saul of Tarsus, and he's viciously persecuting and shedding blood. And I mean, there's probably, now, I mean, you know, we imagine now, think about it. I mean, there's churches in the modern day, people who have problems with bitterness and unforgiveness in their hearts towards somebody else in the church because they said something they didn't like. But here these people are. Saul of Tarsus likely could have killed some of their own family. I mean, he could be responsible for the death of some of their family, some of their friends. I mean, you talk about, I mean, a vicious man, and here he is now coming into the church. And so they were a little slow to receive him. And you know, little slow to accept him, and which is understandable. And so what we see here is that there wound up being a period in Paul's life. There was a period of, I call it confinement or adjustment for Paul in the work of God. There was a period of that where Paul was out of circulation for a few years, and some people believe as many as 8 years. That Paul was not really getting around to the churches. He just kind of hid himself. And that period of adjustment, that period of confinement, wound up being helpful for that adjustment. It also wound up being helpful, I believe, for Paul. It is amazing how the Lord uses periods of confinement in the lives of His people. Now, I've said, you know, with all that's going on today, with this virus and everything, I don't agree with, and I'm not happy about a lot of the way it's being handled with our government and things like that of that nature. But I will say this. I've said since the very beginning that I could see the Lord really using something like this, because what it's doing, it's forcing people into periods of confinement. I heard a message just today, a friend of mine preaching, on Dagon. I don't know if you all remember Dagon, that god. And the people had stolen the Ark of God, put it in the same room with Dagon. They came back the next day, and the statue of Dagon, their god, was face down in the dirt. And so they set it back up, and they came back the next day, and the statue was of their god, Dagon, was not only face down the dirt, he was face down the dirt, and his hands and his head had been cut off. And he was preaching, talking about the day that we're living in and how God, see, God did that to show them that He is God. He is the Lord, you know. And the point this preacher was making was that in our day, we're seeing God deal with Dagon. Seeing God cut the hands and the head off of America's gods, the God of athletics. Ain't nobody playing sports. March Madness has been canceled. The NBA playoffs have been canceled. They don't even know if they're going to have a college football season or an NFL football season. God has cut the hands and the head off the God of athletics. He's cut the head off the God of economy and the dollar and the God of education. All the schools are shut down, everything. The God of entertainment. Everybody in Hollywood's moaning and groaning because they've all lost their jobs. Man, I couldn't care if none of them worked again today in their life. I couldn't care if Hollywood, I could not care less if Hollywood never produced another movie, never produced anything else. God has cut the head off and the hands off the entertainment industry. And so He's dealt with some of our gods. And it has forced people, even career, man. People aren't even working now. People are forced to be home. And all this thing has got people in confinement. Got people confined. And I believe God can use that. I really do. Periods of confinement. He uses it in our lives. He used it in Paul's life. And I think, you know, He could use it in, you know, people's lives that are lost to, you know, work in their heart, get them saved. All those things. But this period of confinement, it was helpful for Paul. And so what happens is God sometimes stops our activity that He might work in us. Now, I don't know about you, but me, my flesh cries out against that. Man, it kicks against that. Throughout our marriage, there's been times, you know, in evangelism, things like that, where you, and even since pastoring, you know, you just get so busy all the time. Those of you that work and things like that, you're busy all the time. You're working to pay your bills, take care of your family, and you got church and ministry and all those things. And it's just, you're so busy all the time. And sometimes you get to the point where you think, man, if I could just have a little time off, I would just sit and do nothing. I would just relax. Well, that's the way I think too. And then I get that time, and about one day is all I can take. I mean, if I go one day, and we all have those days where we've been so busy, we've been going all the time. You get that day off, and you never get out of your pajamas that day. And you just kind of rest, you know. But before that day is even over, by the end of that day, I'm already ready to go do something. I start feeling like a burden to society. I'm like, man, I need to get into something, go do something productive. And my flesh can cry out against inactivity. Not necessarily laziness, but inactivity. I'll be honest with you, some of the hardest things for me to do is just to discipline myself to just sit down, get in the Word of God, and study and pray. I think to myself, man, I could be out doing something. Be active, working in the yard, working on this, fixing that, doing productive things. Well, what the Lord's wanting to show us sometimes is get us to the point where we're inactive and show us that the most productive thing we could ever do is pray. Most productive thing we could ever do is spend time with God. You know? And so, I'm just saying, He used this time of inactivity. Most Christians, and particularly like I think about young preachers' things, they would never grow spiritually if you know, every young preacher that's ever answered the call to preach, they want to be like preaching all the time. You know what I mean? That's the way I was. Young preacher, I want to be preaching all the time. But if I had got saved, answered the call to preach, and then I was doing nothing but preaching all the time, I would never grow spiritually. Never. And you got to have times where you're just sitting, doing nothing. The Lord's speaking to your heart, and you don't have a place to preach. You don't have, you know, something to do, and where you can spend time with the Lord. And we're all that way. If we're just doing something all the time, buddy, we'll never grow. And so He uses these periods of inactivity, and He put that in Paul's life too, shortly after he got saved. Psalm 46:10 still says, "To be still and know that I am God." It might be that God's forcing our nation, forcing our society to be still and know that He's God. Amen. I tell you what, it would not surprise me. I mean, with everything that's going on, I'm not doom and gloom. I'm not a doomsday preacher. But with all that's going on, and I mean, we don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, we don't know. And it wouldn't surprise me if the next thing we saw was the internet go down nationwide. God could do that. And He might do that. Why would He do it? To force people to be inactive. To force people to have nothing else to do but think on spiritual things. He could do that. It wouldn't shock me either, really. It wouldn't. Because inactivity is where God works. And the flesh fights that. But these times are necessary. They're valuable in our life. Zechariah 4:10, he said, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" The day of small things. Those are the days where the Lord tends to work in our lives the most, bring us along the most. And so, His confinement. We see the place of His confinement in verse 21. "Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia." Cilicia is the province where Paul's hometown is, Tarsus. And that's where he spent, evidently, most of his confinement, these days of small things. He spent most of his time there. And some people believe even as many as 8 years. Now, we read about Paul. We read the letters and read about Paul, his life. And it seems like because you're reading his letters and he's always writing his letters to churches, you know, that like you can't picture Paul just being a young Christian, you know, not being used of God. It's just kind of like, if you're me anyways, I just assume, I've never thought, well, man, maybe Paul had a period of, you know, 5 or more years where he just sat doing nothing. Just sat, just hearing from God, like not out preaching, not out ministering, not out, you know, really being used in a big way. He just sat at his home place. But evidently that was the case. And again, some people believe as many as 8 years he was there. in Cilicia. And he spent most of this confinement period just there waiting on the Lord, waiting to hear from God, waiting for the next move. And so the place of his confinement, but then what about the period of his confinement? Look back in verse in the book of Acts, chapter 11, real quick. I want to show you a verse, a couple of verses over here. Talk about the period. So the place was that he was in Cilicia, probably in Tarsus again. But in Acts chapter 11, look at what it says in verse number 19. This is a popular passage, or a pretty well-known passage. This is where they were called Christians first. Acts 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of great things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to where? Tarsus. Who lived in Tarsus? Saul did. Paul. And then it says it right there. He departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so Paul went back to Cilicia, into Tarsus, his hometown, and there he waited. He no doubt prayed, studied the Word, heard from God. The Lord used those times to grow him and develop him. And so we don't really know how long he was there, but we do know when it ended. And it ended in Acts 11 when Barnabas went to seek him out. It ended as a result of Barnabas going to Antioch to check on the reports of the gospel working in that city. Then he saw the good results that was going on. He was glad, the Bible says. Many were added. He went to Tarsus to find Saul. And evidently felt Saul could be a big help to the work in Antioch and elsewhere, because he brought him along with him. And this whole time, Saul has just been there in his hometown, just waiting. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying it's all right to sometimes feel like you're in confinement. Think, Lord, you know, why am I not being used? Lord, why does it seem like I'm kind of inactive in my spiritual life? I mean, as long as you're seeking God and waiting on Him, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. You're just waiting on the Lord. And sometimes those are the best days in our life spiritually, are small times, the small days. Absolutely. I do too. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Get back on the rock.
Right.
But if they didn't, they die.
Right. Right.
I believe every preacher goes through that.
Yeah.
I believe every Christian.
I believe that.
I
believe that. Yep. I remember as a young Christian getting saved, and I was so excited about being saved. I was reading my Bible. I was listening to preaching. It seemed like God was everywhere I looked. He was speaking to me and teaching me. I was learning new things, and it was so exciting to be a Christian. And then it's like just out of nowhere, I woke up one morning, I wasn't in sin, I didn't do anything different, but just out of nowhere, it's like the spigot just cut off, like the switch just cut off, and it's like, well, Lord, where are you? It's like I couldn't find the Lord anywhere. And man, it got really just like miserable feeling. I mean, it's just like, because man, it's just like I feel, you know, just so like the Lord's a million miles away. And I remember, I'll never forget going to church. I think it was a Wednesday night, and Brother Johnny preached a message, and all I could do was just sit there and weep, because it was just for me, because he preached a message on Elijah when the Lord provided for him there at the Brook Cherith. and preach the message on when the creek dries up. And that's exactly what happened in my life, when the creek or the brook seemed to dry up in my life. And he just talked about how the Lord was working in all that. And the same thing is true, you know, in our life. And I heard of one preacher explain it like this, too, talking about these days of confinement, or, you know, these times of small days of inactivity. He said, if you'll notice in your Christian life when you're younger, those days aren't very long, those spans of time. Like, you may go a day or two, and then it's like it feels like the Lord's speaking and working in your life again. And then you go a little further, and, you know, one of those days hits, and it lasts a little bit longer. And then as you go, it lasts a little bit longer, a little bit longer. He said, if you'll notice, that's the way it seems to be a lot of times. He said, what it is the Lord growing us and stretching us. You know, he's teaching us just to walk by faith. You know, that's it, testing us. And so Paul went through this too. Paul went through the same things. And so, backside of the wilderness, 40 years, you know, 40 years. And so we all go through days of confinement, but they are tremendous days spiritually. They may not be enjoyable, but they're good for us spiritually. And so what about also the product of his confinement? That's kind of what we've been talking about. But the product, back in our text in Galatians chapter 1, verse 22, verse 22 says, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in the times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. And what this period of confinement did, it kept Paul from being well known to many of the saints. They didn't know him when they saw his face, which is a good thing considering Paul's past. Considering where he'd come from, that was a good thing that they didn't see him and immediately know who he was and think, oh, you know. And I said that to say this, we don't always understand what God's doing in a period of confinement. We don't understand what he's doing. Paul probably didn't know what he was doing. Paul was probably chomping at the bit so much to be out preaching the glorious gospel that had just changed his life. I know that's how I felt when I got saved. I wanted everybody to feel what I was feeling, have what I had. No doubt Paul felt the same way, yet God has got him back home in his hometown, you know, where everybody knows old Saul, you know, and got him just there in a period of downtime, so to speak. And he didn't know what God was doing. He wanted to be out there working, man, doing something for God. But the whole time the Lord had a plan in that. And we don't always understand, but God does. And this is a good thing in Paul's life for many reasons, but for one reason, it helped some people get over his past. And I think God does that in our lives too. So the product of his confinement, but then also the praise of his confinement. Verse 23, they had heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. And glorified God in me. So in other words, it shows the great power of the gospel. They glorified God in what God had done in Paul's life. And how the gospel can just change anybody. They didn't know Paul, they didn't know Saul, but they had heard about him. Heard about what a wicked character he was. And they heard heard him testify and give his testimony. And when they heard those things and they saw what he was now, what he is today after the Lord's done a work in him, the Bible says they glorified God in him. But it was because of that period of confinement. And so the Lord uses those things. So these are things that will change in a man or a woman that gets saved by the grace of God. The power to change and then the manner of change. His conduct changed. His calling changed. His creed changed. His confinement changed. All those things will change in everybody that gets saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you, Lord, for helping us with the message. And Lord, I pray that you would take it and use it in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the great work that you did in the life of Paul. And Lord, how you used him in such a mighty way. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives in such a way, Lord, that you would use us and, Lord, bless us. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to despise the time of small things. And Lord, help us to not despise the confinement that sometimes you bring into our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us and use us, work in our lives in these days. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. Lord, in the remaining of the service, may your will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.